Hey, tune in to All in One Sports with Jimmy and Ricky. We'll give you all the hockey news you need to have, and they're really passionate about their team.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to All in One Sports with Jimmy and Ricky here on a Monday night ahead of Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. Before we talk about that, Ricky, pleasure to be back with you as always, buddy.
What's up, Jimmy? Great job the other night. Thank you for covering for me. Work has been crazy. The shoulder's not healing right. Spent about 4 hours at the doctor today trying to get some good news that I didn't get yet. But thank you for filling in. And as always, you did a great job, buddy.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Jump on after game four. Go check out the post-game show. Also, check out our first episode together up there on the Ricky O Show page, groups, everywhere. Check it out everywhere. Game five goes Tuesday night in Vegas. Vegas Golden Knights up 3-1 over the Florida Panthers after a 3-2 victory in game four. We going to see the cup come out tomorrow night?
Yeah, I was dead wrong. First of all, I want to just say I was dead wrong on my game four prediction. I thought Florida was going to come out, score some goals, and make this a series. The rumor is now, too, there's some doubt if Tkachuk's going to play tomorrow night. It's a game-time decision now, according to NHL.com. He doesn't play, and it's a blowout. But even with him in the game, I don't think he's 100%. I think Vegas wins its first cup tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think you're going to see the team that came out in Game 6 against Dallas, where they just were machine-like and just they just wanted to end the game early in the first period and take no prisoners kind of attitude. They're going to be business-like. They may be a little bit nerves early. Maybe Florida can take advantage of the nerves early on. But I think Vegas takes care of business. It's been a good, last couple of games have been good. And the end of the game was, as I mentioned on the post-game show, kind of the stuff you like.
Yeah, it got a little crazy. But, that's hockey. I mean, I really hate to see that the NHL has taken that out of the regular season than it's accepted in the playoffs. If more games were played with that emotion during the regular season, hockey would be the number one sport in the world.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, look, there's definitely been emotion, but it only comes and goes during the regular season because, 82 games, hard to do that every game. But I definitely think there's like, and you mentioned it, I think last year, whenever before the Washington Ranger game after their playoffs with all that stuff with Tom Wilson and everything, you kind of were telling me that they were going to be policing that game because, Revo was in the lineup and I kind of took away from the game because you kind of wanted to see what was going to happen.
Yeah, the NHL went into both locker rooms. I confirmed this with players on both teams. The NHL had people go into the locker room and basically threaten suspensions if there was a clown show during that game. And basically Reeves and Wilson were both personally warned. And that really, really took away from that. The Madison Square Garden was electric that night. That really, really, really could have set the tone for having people just go back to being fanatical hockey fans. I'm not saying beating somebody up or going crazy on somebody is the way to draw fans. But why do people watch NASCAR as a casual fan? They're waiting for somebody to crash. Why do people watch figure skating in the Olympics? Because we want to see them fall. I mean, let's just be honest. Yeah. If you're not a purist of a sport, you're watching it to see the bloopers or the physicality of it. And while you're on that subject, very interestingly, today, multiple sources reporting that the Los Angeles Kings are trying to work a deal for Tom Wilson, who's in the last year of his contract and may not be wanting to re-sign in Washington. So keep an eye on the Kings and Tom Wilson.
Well, Kings are a hot topic of a lot of guys recently out there linked to be Pierre-Luc Dubois, who they were linked to prior to him going to Columbus for Line A. Going to Winnipeg from Columbus for Line A. So they're back in on that. There's reports of maybe Connor Hellebuck going there as well. So LA could be in the making moves for players. And you know what? They're in that window.
Yep.
To win, because look, if you're going to keep running the Edmonton Oilers, you're going to lose in the first round. Like, let's be honest. And they need the goaltending because Korpisalo wasn't great and he's not coming back. So they only have one goaltender, it's Phoenix Copley. So I think LA is definitely in a market for him, New Jersey. But again, Soros, I think that's a great fit too, either guy. But LA is definitely in the market for a couple of teams. And you see what Vegas has done. They've gone out and done things that other teams didn't want to do. Kelly McCrimmon makes tough decisions adds players, figures out the salary cap. That's why, you know, Alec Martinez is there. That's why Alex Petrangelo's there. Jack Eichel's there. Mark Stone. Like, he went out and made these trades, and now Vegas is in a position to win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, Vegas, I'll tell you, I was very anti-Eichel with all the rumors of that injury, and it's saying that it could be career-threatening, it could be chronic. They went out, they took a major risk, and this guy's going to win a cup for them. So, I mean, you talk about paying off. Now, real quick, you talk about a little bit of weird stuff today. Real or fake, did Panarin shave his head?
I think all that stuff's fake. That's all that all that stuff's fake.
I was kind of hoping it was real.
I mean, it looked real, but I think that was definitely fake because I think they did it with a lot of the players. So yeah, I definitely think
that Jets was the best one.
Yeah, that was the best one. But those are definitely fake. But at first when I saw it, I was like, wait, what does this guy just do?
That would have made for a great story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This guy goes back home, shaves his head. It's like, what's going on here?
So funny. Yeah, but, you know, talking about L.A., L.A. is embracing that window. You know, the window in the NHL could be short, really short, 1 or 2 years, or with a prime prospect group. I think New Jersey's in a four-year window right now. They've got actually 2 more years to really, really improve that team. I'd say not this year, but the following year. New Jersey, if they pick up a quality NHL goaltender, is in that window. I think the Rangers are in the last year, maybe one more after this, where they're in that window. Teams got to go for it right now in the NHL, and the cap is not helping anybody. Only going up $1 million is just – it's brutal, to be honest with you. It's absolutely brutal. They're making more money than ever made in their life. I heard somewhere the other day that the first round of a playoff – if a team goes to the second round of the playoff and plays 2 6- or 7-game series as the home team, they made as much money as they made 20 years ago in an entire season on ticket sales.
That's like, ridiculous.
That's insane. Like, you know,
and to stay on the cap for a minute, I mean, I've tried to get this confirmed. Nobody really wants to confirm it, but my theory is Bettman wants the cap to stay this way. So you get the parity and all this stuff, and then they'll knock it up. Look, you know, we know the escrow, we know what COVID did, but it doesn't help when a team is playing in a college arena. You know, that's why they tried to, with the ad sales and doing all this stuff to boost hockey related revenue. And you know, look, the players didn't want to go up a little bit more because of, you know, the escrow stuff, and they want to get it paid off. And that's a big sticking point. And look, the salary cap is what the salary cap is, and it should be going up. And I think if it wasn't for COVID, it'd be going up. And I think we're going to see a jump in the salary cap next offseason. And we should, because of what's coming in to the league. Now, the question is what teams do with it. Look, you mentioned it before. The NHL is a winning business. And Kelly McCrimmon has said that. It's like, we're not in the hockey business. We're in the winning business. And he's right. And one general manager told me, there's no 5-year plan. This is a year-to-year plan. Because if you have a team, you need to go for it and go win the Stanley Cup. Because only right one now. Because one team gets their name on a Stanley Cup. 31 other teams are disappointed.
Yeah, hockey's one sport, I'll be honest with you, where 2 years from now, nobody remembers who lost in the finals. No. They remember who won.
Yeah.
It's just listen, give Vegas their due right now. Vegas is the team built. Florida had a great run. They got hot at the right time. That old expression, it doesn't matter in the regular season how good you are. It's how hot you get at the end of the regular season. That is Florida. I mean, it's never over until the final buzzer goes off. But let's just say it looks like the Golden Knights are going to get Gary Bettman's wet dream for him. They're going to win the Stanley Cup in their first 5 years of existence, which is awesome. Fantastic. Seattle, ultra competitive this year. You know, you're coming out to Nashville in a couple of weeks. We're going to hit that draft pretty hard, you and I. A couple of live shows, maybe get some players on if we can live. But, you know, one thing that bothers me here, I was going to bring this up a couple minutes ago, is living in Nashville right now, the absolute clueless IQ of fans here. I listen to sports radio religiously here. I listen to the NHL Network. I listen to Nashville. I still go to my, you know, WFAN on my satellite radio. But it's so annoying. I listen to fans today. Now, here's the problem in Nashville. Let me explain Nashville. Nashville's morning show is two really good guys. Joe Retro is a great guy. Then their afternoon show, there's a mid-morning show with the program director who works for the Preds and a woman named Michelle Knevigich or whatever the fuck her name is. And all she does is call people jimbronis. Then their afternoon show is Willie Donick, the voice of the Preds, Derek Mason, the former Titans wide receiver, and another girl. I think it's I don't even know. I think it's Michelle Knevigich or whatever her name is again. And then there's Jared Stillman. But 90% of the station works for the Preds, okay? So you get no negativity on the station. You get nothing but this player. All it is UC Saros and Roman Josi publicity show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Now the subject of Saros got brought up. I called in. I made a very valid point. I spoke to Willie Donick. Willie's super respectful. He respects my opinion. He's a good friend. We talk often. I've broken some hockey trades for the Preds. I've done some scouting. We have a solid relationship. There's another gentleman out here named Darren McFarlane, who also used to be the host of the Drive Time Sports Show here and a voice of the Preds. But what I'm getting at, I brought up the fact, I made a hypothetical trade. I said, what if the Devils come to you and say, here's five prospects, top prospects, current on the team, not on the team and down in the minors, a first and a second, you get to pick two of the five prospects. So I went with Foote, and I forget the other guy. He's a center. He was on the Devils this year, scored 28 goals. I'm trying to think of his name. You'll know who it is. A first and a second. So it turned out to be four. And the host of the show says to me, we don't want prospects. We want, if you're going to trade for UC Saros, he's the greatest goalie in hockey right now. He's this, he's that. And the Preds need him to win a Stanley Cup. I said, guys, the Preds are 4 to 5 years away for a Stanley Cup right now. Whoever makes this Saros trade is going to have to take Duchesne's back to get that $7 and $8 million contract off the books for the Preds. The hockey fan illusion is every player is going to bring back a top line. It's like the Rangers saying, we're going to trade Shesterkin and we're going to get Dreisaitl and McDavid from Edmonton. And let's just toss somebody else in too for the hell of it. It doesn't happen like that with a goalie. And Las Vegas is proving this right now again. I think this is going to be 7 out of the last 8 goalies who are going to win a cup under $2 million a year.
Yeah, it's true.
You don't need that position to be, you know, this goes back to my hatred for Henrik Lundqvist. Like, everybody laughs at me. I don't like Hank. Well, the reason I don't like Hank is Hank took such a serious, healthy raise at one point. The Rangers had a chance to sign Chara. Chara had brought it down to between the Rangers, Boston, and I think the third team was Montreal. And the Rangers signed Hank to a max contract and had no money left for a defenseman. When if he would have took a team discount and Chara ended up signing for like $1.5 million more than what the Rangers were able to pay him only, I think at the time, going into 2014, you add Chara to that defense with Girardi and what's his face?
McDonough,
Chara. You got a top four that nobody in this league could touch. I think we may have won the cup.
Probably. Against that LA team, probably.
You know, we maxed out at goaltending. And you're looking at Hill again right now. He's just a guy that doesn't need – not that he doesn't need it. He'll get paid now.
For sure. 100% he'll get paid.
They're not paying their goaltender top dollar. And I'm watching all of these teams just say, we need this, we need that. And I can't pronounce the kid's name, but – The Preds have that Russian kid down in Milwaukee.
Oh yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Asterisk period.
Yeah, I know. If I had the name in front of me, I would say.
Yeah,
I
butcher
it
all the time. I mean, yeah. I'm from New Jersey and half retarded. So the kid broke every record Shesterkin had in the KHL. He's coming up in Milwaukee. He's playing for
Yaroslav Asarikov or however you say it. Exactly.
Ask a Jerkoff.
Yeah.
He's
Arakov or whatever. Ask whatever. However you say it. I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the kid's playing phenomenal in the minors. Here's a chance for the Preds to go out and replenish their entire organization, get rid of a $7 million cap hit, right? Get rid of that $7 million that you got. Get a goal, get two or three good prospects and replenish the cupboard. And you got fans calling up going, no, Saros is a top five goalie in the league. We got to keep him for the next 5 years. I'm just sick of uneducated hockey people just making rash decisions on stuff like that.
So I want to follow up what you just said with this point. I want to ask these Nashville fans, where do you see your team? And I'll tell you where the rest of the league sees the Nashville Predators. Because if you see them as a playoff team and a contender, you're dead wrong. They're in the murky middle, and if they get in, they're lucky. Because that's what they've been. Okay, they're a team that gets in and loses in the first round, and they're stuck in the murky middle. You need to be – at some point, they made their run. Now they have to go backwards. And look, I didn't agree with the signing of Matt Duchene. I knew when they did all the maneuvers – David Poile was there, he did it. He signed Duchene. I knew that's what he wanted. But there were some moves that he made that probably should have cost him his job prior to him retiring and Barry Trotz taking over.
Poile should have been fired 2 years ago, Jimmy. Easily. You're dead on.
I mean, there was a point you thought he was going to get fired, and then they extended him. And I'm like, wait, for what? What did his team accomplish? Like, yeah, they made the Stanley Cup final in 2017. Big deal. They're a perennial first-round team that loses. Like, and that's the problem, is you have to have a direction, and Nashville doesn't. It's like Winnipeg. They're stuck in the murky middle, and that's not good because you don't get a top prospect to build around, and you're just good enough to make the playoffs and lose in a first round. So at some point, Nashville has to realize that they have assets the team wants, and they have to be able to move. That's why, like, a guy like McDonough – if the salary cap wasn't a problem, he's never in Nashville. He's on Tampa still.
Absolutely. 100%. And maybe the difference in them being in the finals right now.
Exactly. I mean, maybe – I know he has a no-trade clause and movement clause and whatever, but I wouldn't be shocked if Nashville tries to move him.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone. I think he's not – he's gone. We're going to save the Nashville talk for – when you come down here and we sit down live, either at my house or we go to a restaurant, do a live remote for the show, and we're going to do a Nashville, you're going to do the Devils, and I'm going to do a Ranger draft recap after the draft and see where the organizations stand, because I have a real strange feeling there's going to be a bunch of trades this year at the draft.
I expect a bunch of trades at this draft, too. I think just the way things are heating up, obviously we saw the trades last week with Columbus, what they're doing on their back end. So, I mean, I expect more to come. And you look, the offseason happens even with the Stanley Cup final going on.
Jimmy, another goalie on the market that might upseat Saros is Carter Hart.
Oh, yeah.
24-year-old goalie with a lot of talent on a shit team for 3 years. He could be a game changer for somebody. Somebody might be. Now, I don't think Philly's going to give him away cheap, but I'm just saying he's going to cost you a hell of a lot less than Saros. And I don't know if he's that much farther behind in his career as far as being on the level of Saros. If Saros is a 9, he's an 8-5.
Oh, easily. 8-5. He's been on a poor team. Like, a bad team. I mean, yeah, they did what they did in the bubble, and Carter Hart was great. But defensively, they're not a great team.
Terrible. And the coaching is terrible, too. Let's just face it. Nobody wants to play for Torts.
No.
All right. I have something for you.
Yes.
I want to ask you if you ever heard of Taro Tsujimoto.
What?
Okay. I want you to take notes on this right now. All tomorrow right. night, this is going to be our topic of this show. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
T-A-R-O.
Wait, hold on. Let me get my notes
out.
And
I want anyone out there listening to this show, I want you to read this story, and we're going to discuss this tomorrow, because this is one of the greatest pranks in the history of sports that never is spoken about. And I forgot about this for almost 30 years. And Taro, just remember this tonight.
So Taro.
And last name,
T-S-U-J-I-M-O-T-O.
Now, don't read it on the air. When the show goes off the air right now in 2 minutes, I want you to look this up. And tomorrow we're going to discuss this. And I want to see the look on your face when you read this story.
Yeah, okay.
This is hockey related, by the way. This is okay. You're not going to a gay porn site or anything.
All right.
This is 100% hockey related. And absolutely one of the greatest stories in the history of the NHL, and no one ever speaks about this.
I have to read this story tonight. Off the air, I'm reading this story.
Yeah, this is coming up on the 49th anniversary of this prank.
Oh, man. Must be a good prank then.
No, it's great. It's really – Jimmy, it's really good, man. And I'll tell you, it was just something tonight triggered my mind. I saw something on TikTok. And I went, oh, my God, I forgot about that. And I went back and read the story, and I couldn't wait to talk to you about it because I think you're going to eat this up alive.
Yeah, this is going to be great. So, obviously, tomorrow, Game 5 will come out post-game, do the show after the game. You want to talk a little Yankees-Mets?
Yeah, both teams suck.
Yep,
straight up. So desperate, we signed Luke Voit today.
Hey.
Yeah, it's bad. This series in the beginning of the year was what everybody was looking forward to. This was going to be the Battle of New York, multi-million, billion-dollar payrolls, and both teams are just struggling, and it's not funny right now.
Look, everybody knows my opinion on the Yankees. This team needs to get back to what this team was all about, and heads need to roll for guys not doing their job. Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone should never have gotten extensions. Both should have been fired. Hal Steinbrenner needs to have his dad's winning attitude about championship or bust. That has to be the mentality of this team. This team needs pitching. This team needs a short. Like this, the Yankees are just bad, and they don't understand it. Let me ask
you a question. WFAN brought this up the other day. I heard it out here. How if the Mets continue to slide, do you call the Yankees for Verlander and Scherzer and say, take your pick? Which one do you want?
I would do it.
You would take them both?
I would take one of them. I think I would take Verlander. The Yankees wanted Verlander.
Yeah, it's interesting that the Mets are the reports are already about blowing it up. It's kind of sad, you know. But you know, as long as they got Vogel back, we got hope.
Yeah, but that's the owner. I mean, that's the problem. Like these guys think it's fantasy baseball and fantasy, like all this stuff. You have to put a competitive team on the ice and or on the field.
Yeah, it's Vogel back, baby.
Vogel back.
You know, it's just unreal, Jimmy. Unreal that this guy's still playing baseball. I mean, I liked the guy last year, but I got to be honest with you. He gained 20 pounds since last year. He's the biggest guy I've seen. And one quick thing, go back to hockey for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, I've been really, really hurting with my shoulder. I haven't been able to do anything. And when I get days off, I kind of sit here and soak in ice. And for those of you that don't know, and please don't ever do this, guys, I got hit by a drunk driver while I was walking. Guy came up the wrong way of a one-way street and blasted me, broke my shoulder, broke my collarbone, separated it in two places. I just had major reconstruction surgery 1 month ago this week. But I'm just sitting here flipping through YouTube. And the other night, I found a Ranger-Pittsburgh Penguin game from 1978, and it was the first two periods of the game. And what was fascinating was I watched specifically the power play and penalty killing on teams. And guys used to stay out for the entire 2 minutes on the PK. And the Rangers, before the game, even though they still dressed 12 forwards and 6 defensemen, announced that they were going with only 9 forwards and 4 defensemen tonight, and that they were dressing 3 and 2 extra players to sit on the bench for emergency needs only, and rolled 3 lines and 4 defensemen the entire game. And even when they took a penalty, a defenseman took a penalty, the Rangers rolled 3D on the PK. And I was just fascinated watching 70s hockey. One, it was really awful. I'll be honest with you. The game was much more physical, but on a very dirty level. The stick work was incredible. Even in a game with no fights, the stick work was just disgusting to watch. And the other thing was the extended shifts and how guys would just dump and chase, dump and chase. And the puck would just bounce like a tennis ball all over the place. And I really could see how so many players scored so many garbage goals back in the 70s because there was just no puck control at all in the league.
And then you watch the Montreal Canadiens do what they do in the 70s, and you're just like, how did these guys control the puck?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, watching – and again, too, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, I go back – and again, I am just a history of the game person. I watch every video. I watch every fight. I watch every highlight reel. The Montreal Canadiens, teams went in Montreal and tried to beat them up. You're talking about the Bruins and the Flyers would go in there. But Larry Robinson shit-kicked Dave Schultz.
He really did.
I mean, he beat the crap out of Teddy Irvin on the Rangers. I never saw Terry Irvin take a beating. Mario Tremblay fought everybody.
You got Jacques Lemaire back there, too.
Yeah, I mean, and you had Rick Sartreau, you had Gilles Loupian, you had Bouchard. These were a bunch of guys that played on a team that won all these cups in a row, but yet everybody thinks of them as the flying Frenchmen, but they were tough as shit.
They were tough.
From nobody.
No, they didn't. And I think that's why, like, everybody respects them so well, because, like, obviously you had the Broad Street Bullies winning two cups in the 70s. And I think everybody was so happy when Montreal restored order in 76 and went on that run. And think about it, right? I know, you know, for those out there, think about it, though. Like, you and I are hockey historians, but think about it. Montreal has their dynasty, which leads into the Islanders dynasty, which leads into the Oilers dynasty.
Oilers dynasty.
I mean, think about that.
Well, after tomorrow night, Jimmy, we're in the Las Vegas dynasty.
Probably, yeah. I mean, we were just in the Tampa dynasty.
Yeah. Well, let's call it a show for tonight, because I think if they win the cup tomorrow, we're going to do about an hour at least minimum.
Probably. Probably.
And,
easy.
And congratulatory show for the Vegas and Gary Bettman having an erection. thank you again for last night picking me up, Jimmy. Thanks for picking up the slack. All in One Sports is going places, people. If you are listening to this and you're in Nashville, we'll announce a location in the next couple of days where Jimmy and I are going to go live and do our show. We're going to be at the NHL draft. If you're going to be there, come out and say hello and let us know where you're at. And just please help spread the word on this show and pass it around, share it, whatever you need to do to help us out.
Yeah, man, we're going places. All in One Sports, Jimmy and Ricky. We know stuff, and you guys have to keep checking us out. We're on Twitter, Facebook, find us everywhere, and just spread the word, because you know what? We're sports guys. We know it. We just don't know hockey. That's our best subject, but we know it all. And guess
what? We know it all for sure. We're two know-it-alls.
We are two know-it-alls. But again, as Ricky said, check us out. We're definitely going to be in Nashville. It's going to be a fun time.
Send your wrestling questions in for Thursday night, people.
Yeah, Thursday night wrestling show. Check us out. I know he's got a big NWA rant coming up. So
you got it. Hey, have a great night, Jimmy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I want one more game. Florida, let's see if you can pull it off and make this a series.
We'll see what happens. I think I'm going to see the Vegas team from Game 6 against Dallas, but you never know. But All in One Sports, that's it for a Monday night. We'll be back post Game 5 on Tuesday night. This has been Jimmy and Ricky. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.